Good morning, it's Mac. It was interesting to hear Slandy Stefano's take on PLCs for machine control and his a little insight into logic. Logic is where people nowadays, for example, say Simon or Rob at SM2N and Acrobat, are working with modern technology and the electronics. In my heyday, if you like, logic to me was my bread and butter, and logic was my biggest interest. I absolutely loved it. I loved working with it. I had to work with it because all machines required logic control in various forms, and so that was what I specialised in, was PLC controls and everything in between. But I loved the PLC control part simply because logic was great, and programming machines was and logic was a great thing to be able to do. And what was even more interesting was working with logic. So if a machine had a problem and wouldn't perform a particular function, in theory you could have been there for hours trying to find the little element of logic that was missing, that was preventing this particular machine from moving on and doing its stages, or performing its stages. So for me, logic, and I'm glad that Stefano brought that up, it was a fantastic thing. I still think it's a fantastic thing, although I'll no longer work with it, being retired. But yes, I absolutely loved all the years I worked with that. And there was some amazing stuff that came out. And as Stefano said, there was quite a few companies. If the one I think he mentioned, the PL4 and things like that, they were Kloeckner Muller, if you were talking about the same thing. But we had the PLC controls coming from the likes of Alstom and ABB, or Alan Bradley Group, Siemens, Hitachi, who else is Mitsubishi. In fact, Mitsubishi were really becoming to take over PLC control for a long, long while. I'm not quite sure if they're still in the same expanse, but certainly in my latter days in industry, Mitsubishi Electronics PLC control were being adopted widely by a big percentage of the companies, drifting away from things like Alan Bradley. Though Alan Bradley, to be honest, was an excellent system. And they all had different systems of working, so some were easier to understand and work with than others. And, of course, logic is just simply, as Stefano said, it switches. And a simple analogy, if you like, if I can think of one, would be, say, for example, starting your car. So we all know we can open the door and reach in, stick the keys in, start the car while we're still standing on at the door. So let's say we say that there are preconditions, and the preconditions to start your car, to actually turn your car engine over, would be that all doors are closed, there's a presence on the driver's seat, the handbrake is applied. And, well, that's enough for now, let's say. So we've created preconditions. So in other words, you can't start the car while standing outside. You have to be sitting in the driver's seat with the handbrake on, all doors closed, for safety. So that would be a safety precondition. And that would be all what we call AND gates. So all doors must be closed, and a presence on the driver's seat, and a handbrake on. But there could be other preconditions, which would be what we call NANs, not ANDs. And that could be, say, we don't want to start the car with the air conditioning on. So in that case, we'd have to switch the air conditioning off. So then we've got preconditions of ands with a precondition of a not and. And all these would then actually activate an internal relay on the PLC that was fitted to your car, and that would then energise a physical analogue relay that would put the 12 volts through to the ignition key assembly and allow you to actually turn your car. So it's just a simple analogy, and it's more complex than that. That, if that kind of helps anyone who doesn't understand logic control, that's basically how it works. And basic logic is used in all, I say basic logic, it's not as basic, it's used in industry. But then you have fuzzy logic, and fuzzy logic was actually, it's a variation of logic, and it's basically, it applies to more, what could I say, you know, it's, the expression I'm trying to use is, it's not used in, fuzzy logic is not normally used in machine controls. Machines by their nature can be highly dangerous, but fuzzy logic can be used in other controls. One of the most, probably the most popular one that people would have heard of and that I can think of at the moment, there's two or three applications for this. I know it was used in certain computer controls. I mean in home computers, fuzzy logic was used for certain things. But artificial intelligence, fuzzy logic just simply was a variation where it wasn't strict. It wasn't saying you either had to have that input or not that input. So as Stefano stated, logic is a series of gates, which are ones or zeros. Fuzzy logic allowed a variable, so it could be anything within a range within an input. And so it was a form of artificial intelligence when it was first designed, where it would say, well, okay, if it's moving within that range, I don't need it to be definitely on, or I don't need it to be definitely off. So that's fuzzy logic in its basic terms. I didn't really work with fuzzy logic, so I can't go into depth about it, but that was just to explain that there are forms, different forms of logic control. Logic gates are as simple as that. Think of your garden gate, okay? And it's as simple as that. So a 1 would be, the gate would be open, and a 0, the gate would be closed. So say you had a long pathway and it had 10 gates on it, and to proceed through that, you would have to have all gates open. So you would be the input walking through that alleyway, and if every gate is open, you would be the output at the end of that, because you'd get a clear way to go through. But if one gate was closed, it would be a 0. You can't go any further. And until the owner of that gate, whatever it was, opened that gate, you can go no further. So that's a simple, very simple analogy of an AND gate or a gate system. And of course, AND gates are very simple. You have, to get an output, you have to have 2 inputs on an AND gate. In other words, you have to have input A plus input B to give you output X. And then you have ORs. So you still have 2 inputs, but you could have either input A or input B and still have an output X. Then we go to variations, which I won't go into, but we have NOTs, and my favourite, because it can be used in a great configuration, is the NAND gates, which is not ANDs. That may sound daft, but it's very simple, actually. It means not that and not that. So you don't want that and input A, and you don't want input B, and that will give you an output at X. So it's kind of like an inverter, if you like. So I don't want to go any further into logic stuff, but what I'd like to go into is how logic's moved on, because before I came out of industry, they were experimenting with biologic, and I don't mean stuff that cleans your clothes in the wash machine. This is two separate words, bio and logic, and it's biologic control. And they were working with enzymes, and they could pick out these algae from, I'm sure, if I remember correctly, it was from these, what do they call them again? Not lagoons, these Everglade places over in Florida, where they had a certain type of algae grew there. And scientists found out that they could use the enzymes in the algae to actually act as logic gates. And so they were cultivating this stuff. And what you would do is you apply an electrical pulse or voltage or input or signal, whatever you want to call it, into the enzyme. And that enzyme would flip, basically, and either give you an output or an input. Oh, sorry, I would either give you an output or it would give you no output. In basic terms, but using enzymes, using bacteria, basically, it was bacteria. And it had great potential. And to be honest, we have never ever heard of anything, anybody actually using this biologic control for anything. I'm not saying they haven't. I may do research on this now that I think of it. But it was clever, you know, because when you think about it, you weren't actually using physical manufactured components, although there would be a certain amount, because you just couldn't, where would the input or the output go to and things like that, you know. So I don't know how they figured that one out, but they could actually then grow, basically, bacteria and probably grow them in such a way that they could be activated in certain preconditions. So maybe they could actually grow bacteria that would flip two ways. Bacteria would only flip one way. Inverse bacteria, all kinds of stuff. And this would all be done on some form of array. I'm not quite sure how it worked or how it was intended to work. But I think it's still going. I just don't know if anybody has picked it up or where it's being used in any way. But that was a form of logic. And the only thing I can remember about that kind of logic was, in a logic line, if you were, you'd have a series in a straight row of, say, ants. You would have this one and that one, that one, in a straight row. With the enzymes, you couldn't do that. As far as I know, you actually had to have an input to one on one rail, an input to another one on another rail. That would form an AND gate, and the outputs from them would be combined through a, now what would be the word that they would use for that? Yes, it would be a sort of an activating part, you know. So if you had two outputs from both these bacteria, that would be processed into another piece of bacteria that would say, I have to receive the signal from these two, so I'll allow you to go further. I'm thinking off the top of my head here, but it's not straightforward, so maybe I shouldn't go any further in the bacteria logic. But it would have been great to actually see that was being adopted, had been adopted, and was being used widespread throughout the world, because after all, it's all about progress, and that would have been something I'd have loved to work with. The biologic control, that had been something else. And when I think back on when I started off working on this kind of stuff, was back in the early 70s when I worked for British Leyland. And at that time, the logic control on one of the big machines, which was Modicon, used ferrite. They used the ferrite rod or ring array system, which was basically just ferrite rods, the same kind of thing that gives you an antenna or draws in the signals through your antenna on, say, your portable radio. If you look inside that, you'll find a ferrite rod. Well, it's very similar to that. Some used rods, some used rings in a ring array. And that one, I remember the programmer, it could only cope with four inputs on one rod. So Whereas in a modern PLC, you could have, well, let's say 16 to 32 on one particular line, but it's, some of them are actually almost infinite, but not quite. You only had four, so you'd have four signals on one ferrite rod, which would store that as a memory. The ferrite rod actually stored that as a memory. And at the end of that ferrite rod, the output signal would then go down to another ferrite rod that would count the next four. And so programming and actually diagnosis on these was horrendous. It was actually horrendous because you had to, it was like going through some kind of long archive to get back to where the problem may have been. And the physical nature of ferrite rods, but sometimes they would actually retain a signal when they shouldn't, and you had to, it was like degaussing a computer screen. You actually had to fire a signal through some of them and basically degauss the ferrite rod and start from scratch. And if you did that, you actually had to go back in and reinstate the elements as they should have been. Believe me, it was a long-winded and laborious and tedious task when the ferrite rod's arrays decided to act up. And when I started working with the first really proper electronic PLCs, it was like someone opening a vast barn door and the sun being shone straight in your eyes. It was just fantastic to work with this kind of stuff. So it was great to hear Stefano mention it, and yes, he did. His little talk on it was just good enough for anybody. And I just thought it would be nice to kind of say what I work with and how interesting it is. And if you, it's not everybody going to get the chance to work with logic controls, but it is an amazing thing. And you now have mini PLCs, and I mean mini, very small PLCs that can do things around your house. I have a friend who has a koi pond, and he has valves and pumps and heaters and all kinds of stuff all work from a mini PLC that he can control very, very simply. It's so easy to understand these little things nowadays, and you just touch screen and program what you want it to do, and away you go. So even nowadays, PLCs are coming right down the ranks, and very soon, I suspect that some form will be built into houses to activate certain things, especially now that we're going to solar panels and various other things like that. I think it would be great to see these come down. I think they actually will come down in the near future. I guess Bill Gates and people like that have already got them in his house, doing wondrous things, opening the cover over his pool in the morning and opening the sun blinds and tilting his bed to slide him out of his bed in the morning and have his coffee ready. So if that lets you have even a better analogy of how logic control works and PLC controls, yes, that's exactly what you can do with them. They are great wee beasties, and it's fun to work with them. And if you ever get the chance to sit down, if you see one for sale on eBay for £20, grab it if you're interested in technology, and play about with it, and see if you can get some lights, bulbs, and whatever else go. Enough on logic. Bye for now.